1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God. 30.
No.
Way. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Michael Bennett.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
Welcome back in to another edition of the Scolders Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Brownmarker. With me, as always, my faithful compatriot, Mike Anderson. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well.
Doing well? Yeah. Doing well. We just watched some Game of Thrones this weekend. Not too bad of a weekend, you know. Had a little Easter.
Yeah.
Had that going on. And then we're here surrounded by the enemy today, so kind of exactly like Winterfell, you know? You know, it's... What did you say about the enemy?
I said, I'm not looking at the enemy.
Well, I mean, I kind of have to, because most of the show, we got our good acquaintance, James Donald here.
Acquaintance, thanks.
You know, well, it's hard for me to call you a friend when you're in the context of a Packer. You know, if we're not in football talk, sure, we're buddies, but football talk, not really friends.
Happy to be here with you, Homers. It's great.
You know, it's always good times, you know, where we can talk about football with the other side and get their perspective on stuff. And so we're here with a resident Green Bay fan, James Donald. Welcome to the podcast. Isn't that your first time you've been on?
not so. Happy to be back.
Happy to have you, I guess. We'll find out by the end of this if we're actually really happy to have him, but, you know, that's where we're at. So we had some off-season stuff going on. We had some off-season acquisitions. We're preparing for the draft, which is in a couple days here. It's shaping up to be a pretty exciting night. So I figure what we do is we kind of break down a little bit of the, you know, overall the NFC North, kind of what's going on, off-season acquisitions. We can break down in the draft a little bit, and then maybe take a look at the schedules, kind of see what we're thinking, you know, who's going to rise at the top of the NFC North. I think there's two varying opinions in this room at what's going to happen there. But let's start off with off-season acquisitions. Detroit. Jesse James, tight end. That's about the only one that matters.
Yeah, they didn't do a whole lot.
I mean, it's Detroit, so what are we really expecting at this point? It's Detroit.
Yeah.
So, fun fact. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won the division more recently than Detroit has.
Is that true?
Yes, that's true. Detroit does not have an NFC North win.
And
the last time they won a division was in the Central, and Tampa Bay has won it before, more recently than they have.
Ouch.
So, just think about that. That's how far back this goes. I think that they split that in like 2004, something like that. So, if you're a Detroit fan, you know what? We kind of feel your pain, but, I mean, at this point, maybe just dissolve. I don't know.
Yeah.
Regardless. Yeah. So, that's Detroit. Chicago... didn't really do much. I think they lost. They lost Amos, right, to Green Bay.
Green Bay got Amos. Yeah, they were more of a loss. They lost Fangio. I think it's a huge loss for that team. So
especially coming off of the huge defensive season they had last year, adding Max. So you couple those things together, they could look like a very big downtrend in 2019. Mike, thoughts there in Chicago?
Yeah, I would agree that I think the loss of Fangio is possibly the biggest one here. You know, they signed Clinton Dix, I believe they brought in. You know, a player that I think in the right system could still be a good player on a day-to-day basis. I believe they got Cordero's there now, correct?
Yep, that's true.
So it seems like they always have someone that can play as an impact guy on special teams.
They also have Willie Beavers.
Former fourth
round pick from the Vikings.
I believe.
The Beaver.
Did they end up getting rid of one of the running backs, too? I know there was rumors.
Yeah, they traded him to Philadelphia, didn't they not?
Howard. Okay.
Yep, to Philadelphia.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little different team.
My only question with the way that they're going defensively is this coordinator runs a lot of single high safety, and if HaHa is back there, there will be no top on that defense. You can go deep all night. He can't cover deep. He's an in-the-box safety.
So what you're saying is Diggs and Thielen should absolutely feast.
And Metcalf.
We'll touch on that a little bit later.
I think that I think it would be, and I know Bears fans are going to be saying, yeah, it's going to be the same team, same defense, you're going to return, but I think we've seen the impact that coaching changes have had, both positive and negative. So,
right.
You know, I think it's going to be a little bit of a new look Bears team. Teams are going to adjust, and yeah, I think it's fair to see a little bit of a regression coming. Just obviously, the people in this room see improvements coming from two other teams in the division. And actually, surprisingly, when you read about Detroit, people like the offseason that they had. So
it's still Detroit. Detroit is going to find ways to Detroit.
But it's not necessarily. I don't think Detroit is necessarily one of these teams that's going to be 3-13. You know, I think they're going to win a few games here and there. And
but I'd be surprised if they got really far into the positive end of the win spectrum.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm not a Detroit fan here by any means, but I think that, yeah, I would see a regression coming from Chicago, especially we were talking before the show. I think their first pick is like 87 in the draft.
Yeah, it's in the third
round. Did they give their first and their second?
Yeah, they don't pick until the third round, so.
No, that doesn't rule out any trade-ups, but at that point you're talking about trading away future capital for that, and they already have limited future capital after that trade.
You can't trade up. They have a 3, 4, 5, and 2 sevens.
Well, you're talking about future capital, so they could theoretically trade like a future second, but I think the first has gone next year as well, right? So
yeah, it was the next two first-round picks.
Yeah, so they're limited in what they can do, which I think that has a bigger impact than anyone's willing to admit right now.
Yeah.
So that's Chicago. Yep. Going to Green Bay here, giving the floor to Mr. James Donald. What are you excited about for your offseason acquisitions?
I see you got a list here. Kind of rare. I'm not used to this. We actually made some offseason acquisitions.
Ted Thompson woke up.
Theodore is no longer there. Gutenhurst.
Yeah, that's right. This is the second draft, and kind of annoyed with him last year because he actually had a pretty decent draft.
Yeah, and I think you could argue that the Packers had one of the better off seasons, and that's not even coming from a homer perspective. They had a little bit of homer.
Go on.
I'm not the lone person out there thinking that. They picked up four young people that are kind of coming into their prime. So I think
Billy Turner though. Yeah, anyway, we'll get to
it's
that.
Coming into his prime. I said four young people.
Coming into their prime.
I think Smith and Amos will be big impact players. And
I agree with Amos. I was surprised that Chicago pretty much let him walk, but
yeah.
I think they might have been capped a little bit with what they gave Khalil.
Yeah, I mean, so you look at any solid defense in the NFL, and they almost all have at least one solid safety. So getting Amos, I think, would be huge. I mean, you guys have Harry. When Seattle was great, they had two good safeties. The Chiefs' good defenses had Eric Berry. So, I mean, I think safety is huge, especially with the pass-heavy league now. So,
absolutely agree.
Big addition there. And Smith and Amos have a lot to prove. They're coming off good years. So.
Which Smith?
Smith and Smith.
Because you have two Smiths. You have Preston Smith and Zadarius Smith.
Yeah. They're both coming off big years. So I think Zadarius would be the better one coming out of the gate, but they'll both start. So.
Well, you're paying them that kind of money.
We'll see.
I mean, Zadarius 4 years, 66, and Preston 4 years, 52. I mean, you better hope that they're producing for you. And then you had Billy Turner. This is one where I was surprised he got this much, honestly. Billy Turner, former NDSU guy. So, I mean, he gets immediate props from me for being former NDSU, but this was a surprising contract to give him because I don't see how someone could project that much worth on him, but.
So, I mean, that was, again, like, he's 27, I think, coming into this year. So, like, he's a young guy, and he's got good football knowledge, IQ. So, like, he's a student of the game, which is something that's good. So, they have him kind of at two spots backing us up right now on the depth chart. So, kind of filling at both, which, with our offensive injuries, like, that's big. Other than Bakhtiari, we kind of rotate through a few people with injuries each year, so.
Is he better than Matt Khalil, though?
Crickets, yeah. Says it all.
So is that a yes or a no?
No.
No, he's not better than Matt Khalil?
No.
You're in trouble then.
No comment, I'm saying, okay. on Matt Khalil.
Mike, any comments on the Packers offseason there?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they had money to spend. They spent it. you know, a lot of fan bases have segments of fans that is the primary goal. I think we're seeing it here with a lot of people that I would say are not in the know for the Vikings. You know, we see people go like, oh, why aren't you going out and signing all these guys? And it's like, well, we are making offers, but we're making strategic offers that make right. sense for this team. Now, Green Bay had money to spend. I think I saw a lot of B grades on most of these, which, you know, that means if they pan out,
then it's an A.
Signing, especially for a team with Aaron Rodgers. The one that I think for me, Za'Darius Smith, I think there's a lot of risk in that contract because you have a player that is kind of coming off of what, you know, was a good, he's kind of a breakout year, if you will. And just to give that much money, I mean, you're betting on that it's the real deal. And if it is, hey, you might hit a home run. But if it's, you know, if it's not, you know, it's the kind of thing that could, you know, hinder you a little bit. I think that along the lines of Anthony Barr was a lot of, Barr had probably more consistency than Smith did, and we still have people that were nervous about giving Anthony Barr $13.5 million a year. So,
no, I still am too.
Right. So, you know, those are the things where. But I think at the end of the day, I would be happy if I'm sitting here in Jimmy's shoes, because you had money to spend, you spent it.
Right.
You're improving your team, and all your entire goal, we've talked about it for years, should be to give Rodgers the best chance to do what he does. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to him, and I think that. I don't know. You probably got to be happy with what they did so far.
And I mean, just looking at contract-wise for those two guys, Za'Darius and Preston Smith, after 2019, they're money positive if they cut them. So they aren't locked down to these guys a long time. I think some of their money becomes guaranteed third day of the week year, which is pretty common.
Sure.
But
third for I don't know about Preston, but for
both of them have one of them has third day of the week year, another one has March 15th. Both roster bonuses.
Gotcha.
So it's just one of those things, how they structure that, just so they can get out of it easier. But the dead money only counts prorated bonuses right now. So both of them are cash positive in 2020. If they end up not panning out, you can cut bait and get out of it. And you only paid them the signing bonus and then you know, a couple other million that was guaranteed. So, I mean, I tend to agree with you there. They had money to spend and we said this for years, if Green Bay was actually competent in the off seasons, they should have at least 5 rings at this point. If you have Aaron Rodgers, a talent like that, a quarterback, there's no reason why he should only walk away with 1 ring in his entire, decade long that he's been there so far. Yeah. So, in our opinion, and I'm sure you might agree with this to some extent, Jimmy, there's been some criminal mismanagement of that team that has led to them really not performing the way they should have for quite a long time.
Yeah, I'll agree with that to an extent, and that's part of the reason I liked our offseason now, is because you didn't spend $80 million on one player, and that hinges on everything. You got 2 solid guys coming in,
right?
Like Mike said, about B contracts, so even if one of them pans out, it's a successful offseason.
Right.
So you kind of didn't put all your eggs in one basket, so to say.
Cast a wide net just to make sure you kind of see what you can pull in. And
it's not like their draft. I mean, they both have been proven at the NFL level,
right?
Versus getting him in the draft, so we'll see.
Exactly. So, you had a couple losses, too. So, I think a couple of them matter more than the others, but...
I don't really think any of them are too big of a loss. It's been about 5 years overdue for Clay. And Cobb was a good team player. He had some good morale. But he was always a speed guy, kind of like quick and shifty, and he was starting to lose that. And I saw him leaving, much like I saw... blanking on his name. Went to Oakland.
Jordy Nelson, yep. Who's now retired, so after retirement to Jordy.
Yeah, Jake Ryan, another loss. I don't think he was much more than a depth piece. He was good on the rundowns, kind of a liability in pass coverage. So, but with him leaving, it is definitely a draft need, which we'll get to later. Inside linebacker is kind of a weakness. Hopefully Blake Martinez continues to blossom. But
yep.
Yeah, overall, I would say we came out on top in the offseason.
And I mean, that's one of those things where you just kind of you try to address the needs you can as best you can. And, you know, some of them you can't quite get to before draft season happens. Some of them you shore up as much as you can so you're not absolutely locked in and taking such and such position. But you guys made a pretty astute move last year's draft, and now you have 2 first-round picks this year.
Yeah.
12 and 30, so...
I'm kind of curious what they do with that. I mean, I'm used to the Ted Thompson days of drop back and add picks. So with having a somewhat high draft pick, which have usually never gone great for us, I believe the last time we were up there, we drafted a lineman out of Tennessee who played like 12 games for us. So.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit off air, but we kind of figure they might take the pick at 12, make that pick, and then possibly trade back from 30 into the high second round, pick up maybe a third and a fourth or something like that. Just because a lot of teams might be wanting to move up to get a QB on a fifth-year option, kind of like the Vikings did with Teddy Bridgewater moving into 32. Sure. Very similar situation where they want to move into that spot just to secure that fifth-year option that's kind of important with some of those guys.
Yeah, and I got a little bit more. We can talk about that, but we can kind of save that for our draft.
Yeah, absolutely. So that kind of wraps up the Green Bay guys. Unless there's anything else you want to add with that? Kind of milked us the rest of it there, but... Minnesota, same reason, we're kind of in, we didn't have a ton going on, kind of similar to Chicago, because we're kind of locked in with the cap a little bit with this guy named Kirk Cousins. Better or worse, that's the situation we're in. So, let's talk about a couple of departures first that are going to matter. So, Marcus Sherrills is gone. He went to, where did he go?
New Orleans.
Not Trent Richardson. That would be horrible if we had Trent Richardson. Sheldon Richardson went to Cleveland, which you'd know that's a nice third-round comp pick next
Trent
year.
Trent Richardson led the whatever league it was in touchdowns.
You mean the defunct AAF?
Yeah. Nice. I think he was in double-digit touchdowns.
I believe it, yeah. He might make a comeback. There's been some nice astute signings from there. So Sheldon Richardson, we lose that, so kind of need some interior help. Which we kind of brought back with Shamar Stephen. Brought him back, and I believe a 3-year deal. That's somewhere around like
12
I think it was, somewhere like that.
12 or 12.5.
So he spent 1 year, same with Tom Johnson. They both spent 1 year out in Seattle, said, this sucks. Both ended up coming back to Minnesota. We didn't re-sign Tom Johnson yet.
I believe his name is Sebastian.
Sebastian Thunderbucket, yes. That's true. So Shamar Stephen's back in the building for 3 years. I kind of looked at this as kind of a stopgap because you kind of knew Sheldon was going to go away, and this gives you a little bit of flexibility. The deal is structured actually pretty well, where even in year two, we can pretty much cut bait with it and leave. So year two, there's only like $300K dead, which is incredibly small. So if we ended up drafting a DT that can take that place this year and ends up showing up well, or if Jewel Johnson, who we drafted I believe in 17, starts to turn out to be something, you can cut bait with Shamar Stephen, and he's your guy. So I was very happy with this signing, kind of a low-key signing that doesn't make a lot of splashes, but one of those guys that makes a big difference in the interior.
And there's still a couple unsigned free agents that could be fill-ins. I know Muhammad Wilkerson's still out there. He's a guy I wouldn't hate the Packers for.
Sue is still out there.
Yep. So, I mean, there's some guys, depending on how the draft goes, that can definitely fill in on certain rosters for pretty low.
I would expect at this point, a lot of those guys that haven't signed yet, they're not going to find a home till after the draft.
Yeah.
Because teams are going to want to see where they're at, what fell to them, and then fill in the remaining or patch the remaining holes as best they can.
I would agree with that, too.
Let's see what else we got. So, Anthony Barr was a departure to the Jets. Oh, wait, no, he wasn't. That was an interesting story. There's a couple articles out there I highly suggest you read. But Anthony Barr coming back, taking less money to come back to the Vikings. Not something I expected. I was on this program several times expecting him to leave because he wanted a different role. He wanted to maximize his earnings. What are we thinking about this, Mike?
I think I've been pretty straightforward on Barr the entire time over the last few years. I think it was a joke. He made a Pro Bowl, whatever it was, two or three years ago. We've seen ups and downs. We've seen flashes of brilliance. But then we've also seen him almost be, like, misused, if you will.
Right.
You know, he's extremely athletic. He's extremely quick. And I'd like to see us use that a little bit more. And I think you will this year. I don't think you bring in a guy for that much money use him to his strength.
And maybe that was part of the conversation there was, he was actually still looking for a different role, and that was part of the negotiation. Like, I mean, I really like being here. I'm willing to take less, but you got to use me differently because like you said, it feels like they're misusing him. Some of the disruption that he causes and some of the blitzes that he's in is just insane.
Right.
Like, get him doing that more. I don't know why we don't push that more.
Well, it's not just that, but, I mean, he almost gets lost in coverage sometimes. Like, it's not his strong suit. coverage for us.
But it isn't necessarily a super weakness point.
I wouldn't say that, but I'm saying, like, the majority of times he's in coverage, it should be closer to more down in the trenches and on those outside blitzes.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely, I'd agree. Well, because, I mean, the Rams burned us three times on that last year.
Right.
Because they caught us in a misalignment or whatever shift was missed or however personnel packages were wrong matching up there. He was on, was it Brandon Cooks, like, three times?
Yeah.
I mean, two for sure.
Gurley,
yeah.
Gurley was the one that, as well, I think that was Barr, too, you know. But
with the running back, though, I mean, you got to expect the linebacker to bump out. Gurley's just kind of another beast to...
Right. Right. He kind of got him in no man's land, and it was left or right, and he... I mean, it was a great throw, great routes. You can go read about that all you want. I mean, I think Barr gets beat up a little bit more than he should on that specific game.
I would tend to agree, because I think a lot of that was just scheming and them doing some misdirection stuff to force us into that kind of a package, and I think we saw over the course of last year, we'll probably go more in depth in this in a different podcast, but we saw a lot of this use of this kind of this money backer role with Jayron Kearse kind of stepping in there and taking that kind of role from a Barr position standpoint and doing that covering job. So it's kind of like a heavy cornerback, heavy safety set, if you will.
Yeah, in the box safety type work, yep.
But yeah, regardless, I mean, that was a big surprise to me, and I think it was probably a surprise to the Vikings with kind of how I read some of the reactions and how we had to adapt after that. But it seemed like we weren't expecting Anthony Barr to come in, so we kind of might have had that money slotted for something else. And then all of a sudden, now we need to all of a sudden veer off and redirect. And how do we adjust our strategy knowing now that Anthony Barr is back and we just lost like $9 million against the cap?
I would almost think it's a different way of approaching it. You brought Barr back. I mean, it's a familiar unit. Your defense knows each other. I mean, obviously, with Harrison, so like having that camaraderie helps a lot too.
Absolutely, it's not something where I wanted him to leave, but it makes some of the cap math a lot easier if he does.
And I get that, but you're getting someone who you know what you're getting. So.
Oh, I 100% agree. I'm not mad that he's gone, because honestly, replacing that role in Zimmer's defense is incredibly difficult in one draft.
And Zimmer being Zimmer, I think he's going to realize the role that he had him playing last year. He had him caught out of position, and people game planned against that. So,
right.
We'll see, but.
But yeah, definitely agree. So good to have him back. Couple other moves here. We cut Mike Remmers. That was not a surprise. Mike Remmers at right guard is not an experiment I want to try again ever. I think it's probably about the worst guard season I've ever seen from a player. So let's not do that again. To replace him, Josh Klein from Tennessee had a down year. So typically what I preach is you look at the average, not the outlier. So first 2 years for Josh Klein, he's had pretty solid seasons. And last year he had a down year. There's reports that he was playing injured a lot, which makes a lot of sense. So you look at the average, not the outlier. Same thing with Case Keenum. We saw him revert to his average. First couple years in the league, not great. And then he had the 2017 with the Vikings, and what do you see in 2018? Not great. So go for the average, not the outlier. Mike, any thoughts on Josh Klein signing?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Klein has made, I see here, 46 consecutive starts at right guard, which is the longest active streak among NFL guards. So, I mean, knock on wood, but he's there from a consistency standpoint. Yep. He's going to be out there on a weekly basis, which has been an issue more so some years than others, but certainly a player with that experience to get out there, hopefully mesh. Sounds like he loves it here, you know, which why wouldn't you with the facilities and everything else? But I think that this could be quietly a great signing, and you know, the hope is that we don't really talk about him a lot this year necessarily, right? Because that means he's mixing in and things are going well.
Right, so the assumption is that you keep Brian O'Neill at right tackle, assuming you don't get one of the tackles in the draft that's a plug-and-play guy. You got Josh Klein, right guard, center. We'll get into that a little bit later with my thoughts on that. But I signed this guy 3 years, $15.5 million. Pretty low risk. We can get out of it next year with only $4.5 million dead. So we'd save $1.5 million in the cap. So I see this as a complete win-win. If you end up getting a guy in the draft that you think can replace him in 2 years, fine, you do that. And if he ends up reverting back to his higher self, freaking awesome. You just got yourself a solid right guard that you can plug and play, and then in a couple of years, extend him even further.
Yep.
So, happy with that addition. Like I said, none of these are very splashy moves, but we don't have a lot to splash with. So, last one we're going to talk about, our boy Dan Bailey's back in the house.
Woo!
Mike wanted to back up the Brinks truck and give Gostkowski.
Is he signed?
Yeah, he signed. He signed back with the Pats. But you wanted to sign him for like $7.5 million per.
Back up the wagon.
Yeah, you wanted to back up the Brinks truck and give him Anthony Barr's contract.
Yeah,
I'm not quite that crazy. But it is interesting that Bailey's deal is
small. It was like $1 million, wasn't it? With a chance to go to two or something?
I'll bring it up here because it is not big. And he doesn't have a lot guaranteed. So he's only got $250K guaranteed, and it's only $1 million. So that's roughly on par with what we gave Cobra Kai last year before we drafted his replacement, and then we kicked him out. And then we fired his replacement after game three. Do not draft specialists.
Right.
Ever. If we draft another frickin' kicker in the 2019 draft, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Just wait till you hear my draft projections here.
You're not going to draft a kicker at 18, Mike.
Well, not at 18.
Or 50.
Well, you get the three deep going at 18.
Okay. We'll get around to that. But so Dan Bailey's back in the house. I don't know what to expect with this being such a low deal. I don't know if they're going to try to bring in competition. Like, isn't the Jets, the former Jets kicker, Ayers, isn't he still out there? There's a couple kickers that are still floating around that I could see possibly us bringing in just for.
Isn't Robbie Gould still out there?
No. Robbie Gould got franchise tagged.
Oh, that's right.
I believe, right? Same, which is absolutely insane.
Well, your guy you just mentioned, Cobra Kai, I believe, is out there.
How do you want to come back here, though? That's the question.
Catanzaro used to kick for Cardinals, is out there. Cairo Santos.
Yeah, Robbie Gould is going to be making $4.97 million this year because he's got franchise tag. I've never seen a kicker get franchise tag.
I wonder, too, though, if Bailey just is at this point in his career where he thinks there's a shot to win, likes kicking in a dome, likes the facilities, he's got a house, and rather than try to make an extra $500,000
and just go, shoot
go through
ring.
The process of moving and everything, you know what, maybe he's just like, yeah, let's do this another year, and I don't know, you never know.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, we've seen players take less to stay here.
Yeah.
We've seen Shamar Stephan go off 1 year and come back because he liked it so much here. So, you know, it's kind of a weird feeling it being that wanted destination in Minnesota, but it feels like some of that's kind of coming around. I mean, some players obviously have different opinions. Like, was it Saffold really wanted to go to Tennessee, which is fine, but it seems more and more, as soon as we get guys in the building, they're pretty impressed with what we offer.
Well, it's a new, I think the state-of-the-art facilities is driving that. And with the NFL, unlike, you know, other sports, NBA, where it's such a long season, you know, you play every Sunday, it's still, I don't know, I think there's just a little bit more flexibility from a living standpoint.
Yeah, because you only really need to be here 6-8 months out of the year. And even then, sometimes it's halftime, right, when you're in the off season, right. And you can, if you're not in the Super Bowl, hell, from January to whenever.
Right.
This is why your franchise drafts kickers. You guys are having a 5-minute conversation on kickers.
We're not talking about kickers anymore, Jimmy. We're talking about people wanting to be in Minnesota because it's better than Wisconsin.
Bailey is what started that.
True, but I mean, I am not usually an on-topic guy. I think most people don't understand that. Okay. Yeah. Well. What was it? You've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks back to back, and you only have two rings out of that.
I mean, you got in that time frame.
It doesn't matter. We've never had a Hall of Fame quarterback in that time frame, so
sucks us up.
I know. That's what we're working on, bud. That's what Kirk Cousins is going to be.
Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
You know it, baby.
3D.
All right. Moving on. So that covers Minnesota's off-season moves and acquisitions. That covers the entirety of the NFC North. Gentlemen, it is time to talk some draft strategy. You ready? You ready, Jimmy? You don't look ready. You don't look ready.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Mike, you ready? You ready? Are you sure?
I threw them all.
Okay. We're going to start with overall. I just figured we touch on a little bit of overall because we've seen some weird stuff going on.
Okay.
Especially with the Cardinals. Are they going to draft Kyler Murray?
It's smoke screens for me, I think.
You don't think they're drafting Kyler Murray? You think they're going Bosa?
No, I can see him doing either, but I mean, I think
they're What do you think they're going to do?
They're downplaying Kyler so much that...
What do you think they're going to do?
See who what people are willing to offer. If someone really likes Bosa or...
If no one offers them something they want to take, what are they going to do?
I think it's Murray.
I would guess Murray.
Because then he can trade Josh Rosen. He's on the second year of his deal.
I
take that back.
Mike talked me into it. I would say Bosa. I think they're going to go Bosa.
I don't know. I just think you've got sources that are, you know, guys that do this, and not even using Kuiper, but other people that are saying it's a 99.9% chance that they're taking Murray. And they're getting that information from somewhere. I understand.
I just see that as the connection is so strong, man.
It is. It's been 7 years. Yeah. I don't know. I think it makes sense. And if that's who they want, and I don't know.
There are QB needy teams. You have to
trade Rosen then.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to do that because you have a full day between round one and round two.
Yeah.
So you have that full day to where you can decide, okay, we got Josh Rosen. What do you guys want for him? Miami, what do you want? You know? What are you going to give us?
Giants? I mean...
Giants, yep. Giants would be in play for that.
Would the Giants give up pick 6 for Rosen?
That's tough.
Because then that's a no-brainer for Arizona, I feel like, right?
You pick up one and six, and you get your guy? Absolutely. That would be a little bit tough.
I don't think that would happen.
What's the other Giants pick?
They're in the teens, I believe, somewhere.
I could see 23. I could see it 23.
Yeah, I would see that more like, because Rosen didn't necessarily like the league
six,
on fire.
Six
so.
Is rough. I could see 23, though. I could see if you're drafting Murray.
Well, what was he, 7? Was he 7 last year?
Rosen?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty close.
Yeah.
So if your pick is Kyler Murray 1, you have 5 picks to make that trade with the Giants. That's plenty of time to figure that out. And I think if they're to offer straight up 23, right?
Yeah.
20 straight up 23 for Josh Rosen. I think you take that.
What if the Giants
and that's really, fine found money.
What if the Giants really want Kyler and they'll switch 6 and other picks to get 1?
I think I'd have to be blown away. If you're really sold on Kyler, I don't think there's anything that can really unsell you unless you get like 4 first round picks out of it. It's one of those things where if that's your guy, you take your guy.
From a quarterback standpoint, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think anything can sway you. If that's the guy, he thinks Cliff Kingsbury, if he thinks that's the guy that he can ride and go places with and do like a Russell Wilson in 2 years, get a Super Bowl contender going.
Well, look at Baker last year. I mean, look at how much that franchise has turned around and the optimism for them. I mean, it's...
Right. So if you think that's your guy, I think there's nothing that's going to talk you out of it unless it's like, here's 2 players, here's 4 first round picks, give me the pick. I just don't see that happening.
I think those are going to be the first 2. I think it's going to be Murray and then Bosa, I think, will go at 2.
Here's what I'd like to see with Bosa. I'd like to see the Chargers trade up and grab Bosa.
Bosa bookends?
Bosa, maybe? How sweet would that be? It'd be pretty cool, right? You'd have both of them.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah, what about Quinnen Williams? I mean...
No, it'll be fun.
Any thoughts on him? I mean, I've heard comparisons to like a...
You know, to be honest with you...
...type disruptive guy.
I haven't really looked into it much because there's not a freaking shade of a chance the Vikings ever get to touch him. So there's not really much into him. I know he's mocked really high up in that range, so... I mean...
It's kind of those are the top 3 in that... It kind of goes down after that, is everything I've kind of looked into. So
right,
yeah, I think Josh Allen is consistently in that top 5.
Yeah,
Some people have Ed Oliver consistently in that top 5, but I've also seen him at 9.
I've also seen him at 18.
You know? And that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, yeah, Kyler Murray. I've seen a couple weird drafts where he falls, but like those 3 are your consensus top 3 that I see across.
I think Murray, Bosa, Quinnen Williams. And I think I'll throw Josh Allen into that mix. I think they are 4 of the top 5-6 consensus players without question in this draft.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting top of this draft for sure. I don't know why the Giants didn't take their quarterback last year, honestly.
Well, I guess you can't really...
Yeah, but
Saquon.
I know, but...
I'm not changing that pick. In hindsight right now, I'm not changing that pick.
No. I'm with Mike on this one. I mean,
in hindsight, after year one, yeah, I'm not changing the pick,
I mean,
but
Barkley looks like the real deal.
Yeah, but how many running backs have you seen that look like the real deal?
Not like
the longevity of a career.
Not like that.
Career.
I don't know. I'm in on Barkley. I don't think they...
I think they did it right.
I think they should have probably got rid of Eli and made a change there somewhere, whether it be Brian Petty or something like that.
100%.
But
anyway, it's going to be an interesting top of the draft for sure. What else do I have here? So there was this idea for a while that all these offensive tackles are going to start to slide. I don't really buy much into that. I think there's a lot of need ahead of at least the Vikings pick.
I mean, you
that somebody's going to be there. I mean,
every draft NFL lineman hop up and get drafted ahead of their projections.
Right,
almost every year.
I mean, I could see one of them being there for Green Bay at 12. But I mean, you look at after Green Bay, you get Miami, Falcons, Redskins, Panthers, Giants again. I mean, those are all teams that could use a tackle, especially. I mean, Panthers lost Matt Khalil. That is a void that not many people can fill.
Yeah,
put a turnstile out there.
I'm just kidding. That void can be filled relatively easily, but they need an upgrade.
Yeah, I just think that the tackles and the offensive linemen, they kind of have this vibe as like a safe pick, right?
Yep.
Fan bases are like, oh yeah, we got this guy with a first rounder, but
well, it's like Matt Khalil at four. Right. That was the safest pick there, and I don't think anyone would argue that was the correct pick. But I don't know, it's not a sexy pick.
But that's where, you know, teams like you mentioned Carolina, I agree, they can use some depth there. But if they have other guys that can be a little bit more impactful and maybe have that splash to them, you know, there's so much that goes into these picks. I mean, jersey sales and things, you know. Not a lot of people are going to buy the offensive lineman jersey, but
okay.
If you can get a guy that, you know...
To be fair, and I think you understand this, I mean, I think you're just kind of joking a little with jersey sales, but if you're drafting based on jersey sales,
I'm
you're gonna, probably
yeah.
failing.
But I'm just saying,
yeah.
It's...
No, yeah.
There's, sometimes I think they'll take a chance on, you know, maybe it's a defensive end, it's a linebacker, it's someone that's going to have
yeah,
a little bit more flash.
Take a chance on the upside, yeah.
Turn into, like... a real impact player, you know, a game changer, if you will.
Yep.
Not a lot of offensive linemen that we describe as elite game changers. And if the ones that are, your casual NFL fan probably doesn't know the name, you know?
True. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So.
Well, name one right now. Who's a game changer at offensive line?
Yeah.
Garrett Bradbury.
In the NFL.
Garrett Bradbury. We'll get to that later. So I mean, I don't really buy it that it's going to slide too much. Myself, I don't think at least the Vikings at 18 are going to have a pick at one of the top three tackles at all. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more with like the upside of the skill positions there. I mean,
yeah.
Best player available to an extent, but how often do you find like the middle tier linemen are the ones that stay? I would argue the Packers' best offensive lineman was our fifth-round pick, David Bakhtiari.
Which happens a surprisingly
that's,
amount.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. I mean, your guy we were talking about earlier, Klein, I'm pretty sure he was undrafted. Signed with the Patriots. And then, I mean, so I feel like that's more of a plug-and-play type thing. You can find guys that you can teach the system to versus a freak athlete that's going to change a game.
Right. Well, it's just like what they said about Daniil Hunter when we drafted him. Mike Mayock actually said this, which we'll touch on here in a second, but... He doesn't really know technique, but he's just an absolute monster of an athlete.
Yeah.
So if you can find someone that can teach him the technique, he can absolutely destroy. And luckily enough, we have Patterson as our D-line coach who taught him some pretty damn good technique, and he absolutely destroys.
I mean, that's not foolproof. I mean, there's definitely been flops at freak athletes.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean,
Tony Mandridge.
Yeah. It all depends on your development, and if you have confidence in your development and you want to spend a pick on that guy high, sure, let's go. But anyway, we're getting off track here. So, any team you see surprised straight up into like top five?
I don't think top five. I don't think the tackles will slide. I think there's going to be a lot of trades. I mean, I don't agree with that pick. I think the Vikings are going to have access to two, if not all three of them.
Really?
I don't think top five.
A lot of teams are going to trade back. Green Bay, I don't think picks at 12. I don't know that Cincinnati picks at 11.
I don't think the first trade, if not...
I don't know, the Buffalo picks at 9.
Before
I,
that,
I could see San Fran trading down.
Detroit at 8. I think
the Lions trade. That's one I would throw out there. I think the Giants stay pat at 6. I think...
Maybe.
They're a guy I've seen them tied to a lot is Dwayne Haskins.
Actually, yeah, they're definitely going to pick at 6. They'll probably move up to 4, pay some stupid price, and pick
Oakland.
A guy that would have been there at 15.
Oakland.
Well, it's just like Cleveland trading, I think, a third-round pick to move up from 4 to 3 to draft Trent Richardson before Khalil.
I know the Jets want to trade back, too. So, I mean, they've been talking about that. They want to trade back game pick. So, I think 3, 8 are going to be available.
Yeah, I see fireworks. I think teams are going to be moving up and down because you have so many teams that are supposedly pretty well-rounded. Look at Green Bay's got a lot of versatility with where they could pick. Detroit has a lot of versatility with where they could pick. Why wouldn't you move back at that point? It seems like a no-brainer, and if you have a front office that understands that, I think you're going to see a lot of moves.
The problem with you saying the Packers are going to trade back at 12, we already have 10 picks. How many do you want? I mean...
It's not necessarily always for this year's draft capital.
I would be happy if you trade for future, sure.
Yeah, I mean, at some point.
Because you could also see, okay, they trade back 12, they pick up, it's like a 3 and a 4, then they pick at, what are they at, 30? Maybe they jump into like 28 and upgrade their second rounder to another third, and they end up with 3 third round picks. Vikings have done that before.
Dream scenario, they move back to 17, take Bradbury.
Fuck you, dude.
I in Green Bay specifically, and we'll get into it here team by team, but I don't think they're going to move that far back from 12. It might only be a couple spots, but I think they might slide a little bit and pick up something.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's indicative or, you know, last year's draft, I think it's definitely a possibility.
Sure.
All right. So before we get into the NFC North, one last thing. Mike Mayock, one of my favorite draft analysts now.
Yeah.
GM for Oakland.
Sad for you.
So I'm not going to be able to watch him on the TV, which sucks. But
is it on NFL Network? Is that the draft? Or is it ESPN got it?
I don't know.
Last year, opening, like, first round, it was different. Wasn't it multiple channels last year?
Oh, they probably, or do they have coverage
on each
one,
isn't it? They might still do that, but regardless.
I'd like to watch the Good Morning Football crew do the draft. That'd be fun.
That'd be super awesome. My man, Nate Burleson.
Yeah.
My boy right there.
ABC. I'll be on ABC this year.
There you go. Okay. But yeah, Mike Mayock, he's GM in the Raiders, which apparently they dismissed all their scouting staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, but you know what?
They trust issues.
You know, I'm fine with Mike Mayock running a draft completely solo. He's a pretty astute draft mind. I think he's been right a lot more often than he's been wrong in the draft.
Not just with him, but like with them dismissing it. If him and Gruden are agreeing on things,
yep.
Then yeah, let him run with it. Who cares?
Gruden's got a 10-year ticket. Doesn't matter.
God, Oakland is a dumpster fire.
Are they, though?
I mean...
If they draft well, are they, though?
Did you see Amari Cooper after the trade?
Yeah, but did you see him before the trade?
Pretty good.
Did you see him before the trade? Sometimes it's just the player needs a change of scenery. And Derek Carr is not my guy. All right? I would draft a quarterback to replace Derek Carr.
Oh, my God.
If I would, if they make an offer for one and get Kyler Murray... I'm doing that all day.
You send
a
strongly worded email to Gruden. He'll probably hire you. It's probably all it takes.
Yeah,
just a guy that operates on the fly.
Kind of doubt it, but I could try. You know, see, I could be a Gruden grinder.
God.
Anyway, so Detroit, their draft strategy.
Trade back.
Get one of the fancy TEs.
Well, I mean, I will say that obviously, if you've been listening to draft stuff, I think. Anywhere. The TJ Hockenson, the tight end we're talking about here from Iowa, is rapidly rising right now. And there's talks of him going at 7, at 8. There's talks the Vikings, if he's interested, at 18, all over the board. So I think if Detroit has that as their guy, maybe you see them draft him there. Otherwise, I'm with Jimmy. If they don't have a guy that falls, you know, maybe an Oliver or someone falls to them where they think it's, hey, this is an elite talent. But if I'm them, I've got maybe a handful of guys,
mm-hmm.
if that, that they deemed elite, elite talent. If they're there, take them. Otherwise, I'm moving back, and I'm trying to acquire assets, especially in this division.
Unless they're in love with Oliver, I don't even see Oliver at 8 as being a falling down. I mean, I kind of think that's his draft value based on other people in it.
I think you still take him there if you're Detroit, though.
if you're high on him, and I know they need defense. I think a guy they've been tied to is Josh Allen. If he falls, they're not going to let him slip up. Devin White's another name I've seen thrown out there with Detroit. So they need defense. I think they just need more picks, yeah. Personally, because they do have a few holes. Unless I'm
gentlemen, though, like really, it's Detroit. Does what they do this weekend really matter?
I'm telling you, I think you're oversleeping on Detroit. Their offseason people really liked a fair amount, and I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't sleep that much on them. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're going to win the division, but I don't think that they're that far off to being a competent football team.
I think they move back to the end of round one, pick up another two or three, like around two or three. They get 10 solid picks then. I think a guy at 18, not that you guys would trade up, but like a guy in the late teens, I think would add value to them at the same rate, and then they gain another two picks out of it. I don't know.
I think they drop back. That's if you put me a life on the line, what are they doing? They're not picking at 8. I think they could fall back into even the 20s.
Yeah, and they have 9 picks, but two are in 6 and 2 are in 7. So yeah. I mean, but you can find diamonds in the rough, but that's not going to change your team.
Yeah,
Chicago, are we doing that at a later show since we'll be able to record before they pick again, probably?
probably 87. True. 87.
Oh, man, Chicago. How many draft picks do they even have this year?
They have 3, 4, 5, 7, 7.
3, 4, 5, 7, 7.
Yeah, so they'll be at 87 and then 126.
Woo! Man, they better not run into a lot of injury depth.
You know what? You know what's sickening, by the way. Just put this out there. New England Patriots have 12 picks in this draft.
Yeah,
they have 2 third rounders from comp picks.
Also, their highest pick in a fair amount of time, right? Aren't they picking at like 14 through a traded pick? Did I see 16, 14?
New England, yeah, I think from Chicago they got the pick.
Chicago.
Yep.
It could be crazy. I thought I saw that somewhere.
Not quite that high.
Well, Chicago would have been in.
But yeah, New England is just God. They do this thing, and some teams are starting to catch on to it now. They sign these guys to 1-year contracts, guys that are on the upper end, like kind of like what we did with Sheldon Richardson.
Trey Flowers, he went to Detroit. They got a comp pick for him.
Right, so they sign these guys on 1-year deals, and then they don't sign them after that. These guys go and sign massive contracts with other teams, and they get the comp picks. It's super smart.
Brilliant.
I don't know why more people haven't figured this out. Anyway. So we didn't really talk about with Chicago. They don't really have enough draft capital to do much. This year and next year even.
I mean, Chicago, they're adding depth. They're not picking a starter at 3. I don't think so. Yeah.
No.
Which will be their downfall, but, you know, that's where we are.
And that's a team, too. I think we mentioned their first is out next year. So this could be a team that, again, even though they don't have a lot of picks, may try to acquire a few more and still may make some moves as well this year in the draft just to try to acquire a few more picks.
Just to try to get bodies in there that are in the talent pool. So
that or they may be busy in free agency. They could be picking up the people we mentioned earlier that are still out there. So
true. Very possible. But anyway, so let's move on to Green Bay. Floor is yours again, Jimmy.